One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is Bree Yamauchi from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be talking about finding peace through the Book of Mormon. I'm joined today by Tong Tong Wu. She is a first-year PhD student at the U in counseling psychology, and she has an incredible story to share. Thank you so much for being with us today, Tong Tong.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so first question I have for you is just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here.
So I applied last year around this time to think about an advancement in my career as a mental health counselor. So I kind of like, hey, why don't I just apply to the University of Utah after finishing my master's at NYU, and here I am.
Awesome. I love that. And tell everybody how long you've been a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Since January of this year.
Since January. Oh my goodness. I am so excited to hear your story and your perspective. So let me back up a little bit.
Sure.
Before you even started learning about the church. Mm. Tell us what you knew about life before the church. And you grew up in China, right?
Yes.
Tell us what you knew about just life in general.
I mean, I grew up in a very interesting area of China. So it's Southeast China. So the region I'm from, we always really worship native gods. We have native religion and kind of like, but also mixing with Buddhism. So, and my grandma is Buddhist, my aunt is Buddhist, so I also grew up knowing some Buddhist philosophy and kind of learning how, like, okay, what is about the divine being and what it means to live and what to do. And it's a different philosophy system I grew up in Shenzhen, so which is a very diverse city, because I actually had Christian friends from Protestant backgrounds. That's when and also just some Muslim friends around me. So it's very, very like a melting pot to grow up in. But I mean, I grew up mostly kind of like agnostic, kind of like, okay, maybe there's God. But I think I kind of only think God exists when I actually need something from God. And I think it's like, and whenever I do something wrong, I'm like, oh, God is punishing me. And I think that was my thought process and system. But definitely like growing up without knowing that much of Christianity really definitely let me appreciate the gospel even more at this stage of my life.
That's amazing. Awesome. Tell me when you first learned about The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So it's very interesting. I grew up hearing about it, I think on and off, kind of like, but I mean, it's all the negative portrayal of the church and also kind of, but then in 2021, when I graduated from college at College of Worcester in Ohio, I actually trying to find like a college counseling job. So my boss is a BYU golf alumna. And so she was telling me about the church and how her experience in Provo was as a non-member. And that's how I started to learn about the church. And then last year in April, I met her coach, Todd Miller, the BYU golf director. And that's why I say BYU was like a platform for me to just learn more about the gospel, learn more about the church. And that's how everything progressed from there.
That's amazing. Now, from what I understand, there was kind of a breaking point for you where you went to a hotel, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us, this is the part I'm so excited to hear. So
sure.
So tell us why you, was it a business trip? Tell us about that and just walk us through kind of the emotions and the feelings that you were having as you experienced what you did.
Yeah, so it's very interesting how it was, okay, it was in the Northern California. So I was taking one of my students and her mom, like on a basically a kind of like a coach, kind of like, okay, I'm helping her to get ready for tournaments in the U.S. And it was just so random. I was so exhausted that day driving all the way from Oakland to Merced. So, you know, the Bay Area traffic is bad. Like, and it was, I was just so exhausted because I worked nonstop in the heat and then got back to the hotel. I showered and it was just so funny how that, I was like, I know Marriott Hotel is affiliated, like kind of like the owners are church members. So, and then I heard like, oh, it's very, and I was like, let me trace stuff of the church in the hotel. So it's like a June, around mid of June. I opened the drawer, hotel drawer, out of all the years I stay in Marriott hotels. It was Merced, California, middle of nowhere, yeah. And I opened the drawer and I was like, oh, that's Book of Mormon. And I was so excited. And I was like, so I literally messaged my boss, Maggie, right away. I was like, Maggie, like, oh, it's really affiliated with the church. And I was like, just like, and then I was like, okay, actually, I never really know about what the church is about. Like, it's just so rare to even hear about it. I think it's because you don't really have, like, the church doesn't really have that much of symbolism of like a cross or something. So
yeah,
it's very interesting how, and then I was like, let me learn what it entails. And then like, but I think the first time I opened the pages, I almost lost interest. But definitely just, even I didn't understand the chapters, I didn't understand the words, I was still like, I just felt that peace and as if the world has paused and just kind of like the spirit really filled the room. And I was like, just couldn't believe like how that feeling stays with me. And even now I talk about it, it's still very like, kind of like I can still feel it strongly.
That is such a beautiful story. Oh my goodness, I love that. Is there a particular verse that stood out when you were reading in the Book of Mormon?
The first time, no, but actually the second time I seriously read it is very interesting. It's actually, I read it in Spanish because I found the English one was so hard. So basically I went back to the Nephi chapters and that made better sense.
I hear you. The Nephi chapters definitely make better sense.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So from there, you started investigating the church. Is that accurate?
Yes. And I think that really sparked my interest because I was like, okay, I kind of touched the Book of Mormon. I was like, oh my gosh. I think back then I was still like, okay, the church is kind of weird. I don't want to go anything further than just after opening a few pages of Book of Mormon. But then I just felt like it's so magical and a strong power. One time I was like just feeling so overwhelmed, and then instead of going for self-help videos, I was like, why don't I just go for Book of Mormon?
Yeah.
And that was around this time last year that I started that investigation.
Wow, that is incredible. I have a question that I want to ask as somebody that has, my parents are members, so I have been a member my whole life, and I get a little bit of jealous envy.
Why?
Because you get to have this kind of unique perspective of knowing what it's like to not have the church and then having the church and understanding that stark contrast. So I'm interested to hear, as you were, you know, not just investigating, but had made the decision to be baptized, was there any opposition that came into your life?
I think the first one was that the first time I tried to go to church, so back then it was last December in New York's, I was living in New Jersey area, right? So the trains on the weekend to go to the city is always pretty tricky. So I missed the train and it was so windy. It was a windy winter day. I was like, yeah, I have to get an Uber to get to church. And then it was just so funny how that last minute my phone started to have no cell service. But then I was like, okay, the Marriott Hotel saved me again. I connected to the Marriott Hotel Wi-Fi and then boom, I got my Uber and made it to the sacrament right on time when Elder Boyd invited me. So it was very interesting how the first opposition really kind of like, oh wow, now I really want to go to church, but I was all dressed up, but just I know Satan really, really wants to drag me on the opposite way. And the second time that the opposition was that because of my address. I lived in New Jersey that time, so basically the New York City mission, I was referred to the missionaries there, I couldn't really be baptized there, so we were shooting for 2 weeks to be baptized, and then we had to drag it after Christmas, so that I had to get to know the New Jersey mission and then the bishops in New Jersey to be baptized. So that was my second obstacle, but also kind of like even with that opposition, I kind of strengthened, like, that's why I wanted to be baptized. It's not because of the New York City elders. It's because of I really wanted to be baptized myself.
Oh my goodness. You have such a strong testimony. I'm so proud of you. I think you're amazing. I think it's interesting how I have noticed that everyone I talk to in this building, yeah, and when I'm at church, has a light about them. And you have such a light, and I love it so much. President Nelson gave a talk back in 2017 before you were a member. I don't know if you've read it or not, yeah, but it's called The Book of Mormon, What Would Your Life Be Like Without It? And he asks three different questions in that talk. And I want to ask you these questions, yeah, because you actually know what life was like without the Book of Mormon, right?
Yeah.
So here's the first question that he asked, and I'll let you answer it. What would life be like without the Book of Mormon?
Actually, I want to cite one of the sisters for New Jersey Mission that we talked about it one time. So it was actually before I went to the temple for the first time in my life in New York, Manhattan. So we were talking about how Book of Mormon is like the last piece of a huge puzzle, and it pieced everything together. So I say, based on my conversation with the New Jersey sisters, Sister Harris and Sister Jean Ferris, I would say my life without Book of Mormon is kind of like there's one piece of me is missing.
I love that. I love that. Okay, next question that he asked, yeah, is, what would you not know without the Book of Mormon?
It's a tricky question to kind of, but also a great one to kind of, I think, what would I not know is kind of like, I think the Book of Mormon in a way really switched my mentality, because in the past, like, I'll be like, okay, why am I going through all these hard times? What is wrong with me? And then I always think back to the verse of 1 Nephi chapter 3, number 7. And I won't cite the whole verse, but basically kind of like, okay, I know God gives me all the afflictions because he knows I can make it through. And also to know that I can do it, he can give me hard task, like just even coming to the U and start my PhD program, it's still a challenge, but I know God gives me these commandments and these things on me because he knows I will do it. So I think that's like a great lesson for me, kind of like, I know these hard stuff do not come from nowhere. It's because God wants me to become a better person.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing that. Life is really hard.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been telling people this often that I think that oftentimes we don't really understand the need for trials, but honestly, trials are oftentimes what turn us to God, right? When you were in China, you said that was something that you experienced, right? Where you kind of believed in God when things were hard. And so it's interesting that without trials, we would have a hard time turning to God. But with trials and with the Book of Mormon, we understand that it's part of life and God's with us through them.
Yeah, just like how Lehi really brought his family across the wilderness or across the desert. When I read it in Spanish, like, it's definitely, I see it as like it's part of the life journey, but God is the light.
That's so amazing. Here's the third question that President Nelson asked. What would you not have as a result of not having the Book of Mormon?
I think I would not have that much of joy if I don't have Book of Mormon. It's just every time I flip through pages, either in English, in Chinese, or in Spanish, it just brings me new wisdom, brings me new joy, and brings me more strength to know that my Savior is there for me, and I know I can do it, but then I know I cannot do it without the strength of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
And to go back to the verse in 3 Nephi 3
yeah.
that you said has been so impactful for you. I love Nephi's go-getter mentality to go and do, right?
Yeah.
And I hope that all of us that are listening to this podcast understand that the Book of Mormon is the keystone of our religion. And yeah. because of that, we need to be reading it every day, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it's so hard and sometimes it's easy if we fall yeah. into a pattern of reading. But regardless of our life circumstances, when we're reading the Book of Mormon every day, there's a power that yes. comes into our lives.
And I can testify that as I read every chapter before bedtime, like since I was baptized, before I was baptized and after I was baptized, the whole few months that I can testify how much strength and power and wisdom that I get just from that little bedtime reading.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that testimony. Yeah. Before we finish,
yes.
we ask a couple of questions to all of our guests on this podcast.
Yes.
So the first question is, what is an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker?
I think that's a hard one because I think lately, like, sometimes I get into arguments with my friends, but I think really when I watched the part Peacemakers Needed at DC, when I was traveling in DC, so actually I just felt the spirit so strongly, and I realized how many times, like, if I just argue back, it's making the whole thing even worse. But I think being a peacemaker kind of like been making me to deal with the situations better and to speak in a better and softer attitude, because how the way you speak will just change how the whole conversation goes.
I love that. Fighting fire with fire never works, right?
Yes.
Great. And here's the last question for you.
Yes.
How has the Savior helped you to be a peacemaker?
I think our Savior is a great example of being a peacemaker, kind of like with leprosy or with dealing with the Pharisees and just with people that crucify him. Like, I think just how he handles everything just with best tolerance and the best and with the highest level of charity. It's always been a great example, and I know that I want to have that Christ-like heart all the time.
Well, you definitely have a Christ-like heart if I have anything to say
Aww.
About it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Bree.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at your church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.